Oh, good morning. How are you, sir?
Very well. Great to have you on. I got to say, I'm very excited by this latest album, your 50th. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
When the first album came out, would you think that you would have had another 49 to follow?
No, not really. You know, because you think that on one level you do think that it'll never end. And then you realise that there's, you know, you're always going to hit that valley. There's you're not going to be hitting the top end. You know, you're going to go down to the bottom. And I try not to look back. You know, whether it's a successful record or not, you just move forward.
Yeah, but I guess you know there's an old saying I love, which is, it's okay to look back, just don't stare, you know? And I mean, I would be one of those. One of the first albums that absolutely blew my mind, or was actually an EP, was Loud and Clear. And
that was a really great document about what the band was about.
Yeah.
Really. We couldn't get that feeling. Yeah, you know, it's a different animal being in the studio. And we couldn't get that feeling, so we released that Loud and Clear record, and it was kind of pretty much, you know, rough around the edges, but that's exactly what the band was about. Yeah. It was about having a lot of fun, creating as much havoc as you possibly can under the circumstances. You're in the midst of the grime and the sweat of a crowd that's kind of stuck, you know, pushed together like sardines. Everybody's eating pizzas and drinking beer and having one hell of a time.
Yeah. Well, I got to say that even on my current playlist, it wouldn't be probably 2 weeks wouldn't go past without me playing your live version of Ain't Got a Lot of Money.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's an interesting thing, you know, because Frankie Miller, that's a Frankie Miller song.
Yep.
And he did one of my songs, which was he recorded a version of So Young, which I was surprised. I didn't know how he found it. And I had a couple of covers on So Young. I had Elvis Costello do a version, and of course, here I am. You know, I just loved him and a Scottish singer, and made some really great records and beautiful voice. And,
a rocker. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard quite a bit of Frankie Miller. Yeah, really good stuff. Yeah, absolutely. So this album, the new one, it must have been fantastic as well. Obviously, you along with long-time writing partner Nick Smith, but also getting Peter Solly involved, who goes right back to Shape I'm In and Hit and Run.
Yeah, well, almost 40 years, man. Wow. It was strange. It was just by accident, you know. We hadn't spoken for 20 years, you know, we occasionally just kind of email each other and see if we still got a heartbeat. And he was in Vietnam, and he said, "Can I come over for a few days for a visit?" And so he did, and, you know, we just rekindled our friendship and played him a few songs. And I asked him if he'd be interested in producing just one more record, you know, one more time around the dance floor. And he said, "Send me some demos. I'm not promising anything, you know." And a couple of weeks later, he was here, and we got stuck into it. And and this is before the pandemic started, so we've had this. We finished the record 2 days before the pandemic started, you know, officially started. There was some argy bargy going back where he was in New York, you know. There was a lot going on then, and no one knew what to do. And I still wonder if we know what to do. But we're getting through it. And so he got back to New York, and I've been sitting on the record for this period of time. And I got a release with Ambition Records, and here we are.
Yeah. So, listening to the album, would it be fair to say it feels a bit more rootsy than perhaps your last album? Would that be a fair comment?
Oh, I don't know about that. I just think it's. I cast a wide net. I think it's all about the songs and what you're writing at the time. I think, you know, we're forever. Me and Nick are forever sort of trying to find new ways of doing things. You know, as much as we can that would be interesting, and try and be as cinematic as we possibly can, and get through all those different situations, you know. So sometimes you just happen to have, just like we did on the Screaming Targets record, you know, we just happen to have the right song, I think, for the right time, even though they were different times. It still applied. You know, I had released four albums with JoJo Zed without getting, you know, getting maybe a top 20 or something like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, the next thing we know, we're playing at, you know, stadiums in America. And you're thinking, what happened? Where did I go wrong? This is not bad, is it? You know, all of a sudden you're sort of, you're on a plane and you're flying to New York and you're in London and you're down King's Road and all these places that you kind of only dreamt about. And so sometimes it's just things just line up in a certain kind of way. So I think Peter Solly, we had the song, and but Peter Solly, I think, made a real contribution to this record.
Yeah,
as did Nick Smith, of course. You know, he's an absolute legend.
Yeah. It was fascinating talking about, you know, going to London, New York, that sort of thing. I've often been fascinated by musicians when you say have a run of big hits and what have you. And, you know, there tends to be a life cycle in some cases where, you know, the hits start to dry up a bit. But as a musician, as a songwriter, does that dry up at all, or is that just a continuation all the time?
Well, you know, you keep writing songs. You think everyone's a Maserati. But it doesn't necessarily turn out that way, Mark. You know, so you think everything you're doing is kind of right on the money. But I think you just got to have that cycle. You because you get empty. It's just like a tank of petrol. You know, all of a sudden it's you know, getting close to that point, and you've got to fill it up again, and you can only fill it up with ideas, and you store those ideas. And when people ask me now, what are you doing at the moment? I say, well, I'm looking through my pockets, at the moment, seeing which is my phone, but seeing the ideas that I've got. How do I kind of turn this little idea into something they call a song?
Yeah.
How do I get the nuts and bolts of this? That's what you do, you know. You kind of, I look around for all the things that I've got. You know, every day I'm writing something. Every day there's paper everywhere, you know. And if I'm not writing my own song, I'm writing the words out of another song. You know, so I want to sing this song. You know, I can't help myself or something like that. So I was like, you think you know how you think you know the words, but you don't know the words to the great song.
Yep.
you just jump on, and it's kind of like a little mystery train. And so, I want to learn that. You know, I've got my lounge room songs, and I play them to sort of create some energy. You know, sometimes I do a concert in my lounge room. I live alone, so I'll play a few songs, you know, from top to tail. And I never play my song. I always play someone else's song. So it's kind of like it's nuts at the moment, isn't it? The things that you do, this, you know, like I won't put the dishes in the dishwasher. I kind of wash it by hand, put a record on, and then and start singing into the brush that you're kind of cleaning the plates with. You know, it's just nuts. It's kind of they're just nutty things, you know, but and I'm trying to keep busy.
Yeah.
But out of that, you might find just that little gem, that little nugget that needs to be, you know, brought out. And you say, here's the thing, you know, that's not a bad thing, you know. And one line could mean many different things. So it's about the process of trying to find something that where you've never been, you know, because I think everything's been written to a certain degree. It's just the way that you write it.
Yeah. You say about not trying to, you know, sort of keep yourself busy. I guess the worst thing over the past 18 months has been the inability to perform to any great extent live. So I know you're planning to get out on the road again. That must be like a breath of fresh air, the thought of that.
Oh, yeah, look, you know, I live in the country, so I've been, you know, I've got a little bit of freedom for a certain period of time. We were rehearsing, I don't know how many weeks back now, I've kind of lost track, 6 or 6 weeks, maybe 7 weeks. We were rehearsing the album, and we were going to come out, and we had, we had 50 shows ready to go, and we were, you know, I was going to, I've got such a big back catalogue that I wanted to play a lot longer. You know, I play a long time, but I wanted to sort of get into the whole spirit of this record and the fact that I've had 50 releases and the fact that there are people that like different things. You know, some people will come up to me and say, "Hey, listen, could you, on your Facebook, they say, could you play Snakeskin Shoes? I'm coming to the Palais," or the, and I say, "You know what? I'm going to do that. You know, because that's, I don't do it normally, but I'm going to do it tonight." So you do things like that, and people, you know, or whatever the songs may be, you know, the ones that you're going to get are always your big hits, you know. So, but there are a lot of people like the other things that you do that may mean something to them, you know, like maybe Mystified or whatever the song may be. It doesn't matter. Sometimes it's not even my song. It's like, hey, listen, I'll do anything. It's going to be one of my songs. I don't want to do Satisfaction. You know, you can hear the stones through that, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll even do that. It's all about, it's like performing. It's all about the night. It's all about, you want to go on a journey. You want to have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, music is meant to be fun. You know, it's a healer. It takes you, it catapults you somewhere that even if it's only for a few hours, you know, and you get back to your normal routine, somewhere down there, it gives you an opportunity to get dressed and go out instead of being in your trackies. So that's what I'm all about, really. I'm fortunate enough to have plenty of material, and when things aren't going right as far as writing songs, I'm fixing up songs. You know, you don't write just one song. You're writing maybe 4 or 5 songs, Mark, at any one time, and you need a bridge for this, a chorus for that. You need a whole lyric for that. You need just a couple of lines to sort that out. You're always looking and always fishing, and I think that's what's really attractive.
Yeah. Just finally, before we let you go, Joe, so you mentioned when I first called you that you were doing your arpeggios on your saxophone. You play every day? Do you pick up an instrument every day?
I play the saxophone every day, you know, and my neighbours really like it when I play, because I'm just learning to read. I know everything's by ear, so right. I've learned to read over the last 12 months badly, you know, just kind of lead sheet stuff. But I've been playing the American songbook ballads, you know, so beautiful ballads like Round Midnight, you know, Easy to Love, you know, Don't Blame Me, all the, and my neighbours love that. But as soon as I start squeaking and squawking, and because I don't play that kind of music, you know, I play sort of, you know, when I'm playing, I play whatever it is that I play to complement the song. But it's really fun. But when I start playing arpeggios, you get the call. Hey, listen, cut that out. Cut that out. Give me Round Midnight. You know, I really need them. And you know, this is what they do. They leave you some eggs. There's a few lemons. There's some cut flowers occasionally. You know, we pass these things on. You know, we have cups of tea over the fence. It's not all bad.
No.
There's some really good, there's some value in some of the things, you know.
So you're literally, mate, still singing for your supper sometimes, yeah.
Well, kind of, you know. what would be, you know, I'm 73, what's going to be the best thing? I laugh about this. I say, I can't wait to be able to just, you know, take the karaoke machine and not bus. I want to be a little bit higher in than bus. I want to play in the spaghetti in a spaghetti bar playing the girl from Ipanema.
I tell you what, I reckon if you were doing that, you'd still be killing it, mate. Hey, Joe, it's been fantastic to talk to you, and congratulations on the album, the 50th career album, which is just brilliant, and really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity.